Praise God. Pastor Bill, I'm not Pastor Bill, in case you didn't know. I look very different. And I brought my best out, my newest outfit. You like it? Got some holes, got some grease on it, got a pen, you know, because I've been working in the barn all day. You'll understand in a minute. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Even have an illustration. I don't know if it's going to be that great, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try my hardest. So Pastor Bill and Pastor Ben are in Portland, so keep praying for them. Protection, God's will to be done. You guys doing okay? Awesome. Praise God. Usually when I prepare, I have all these notes, and then it's like I'm done in like 10 minutes. So maybe we'll be here 30 minutes, maybe we'll be here 10, but I'm going to give you the best of what I can give you, so praise God. Let me just start by praying. Lord, I just thank you for this people, God. I thank you that just for the grace that's in this place, grace for each other and love for each other, God. I pray that the words of my mouth would just be edifying to every hearer, God. I just pray that this is your message, God. This is about your kingdom and your word. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just have your way in Jesus' name. So this message just actually was just birthed, you know, just in prayer. One of the nights on Thursday nights, God was just highlighting, you know, the word. Don't you love the word when it just energizes us and highlights things? And so I just couldn't get away from it was prepare, prepare, prepare. Prepare. The king is coming. He is coming back. And I'll be honest, going through this, I was talking to the Lord and I said, you know, I don't really have a great understanding about coming back. You know, I know he's coming back, the remnant, the church, living and the dead will raise, all that. But sometimes my emotions really weren't connected to it. Maybe I'm the only one like that. I'm glad you guys all got that. But, you know, sometimes I'm not connected emotionally with verses of scripture. And what does that mean? Like, he's coming back for you. He's coming back for Treya. He's coming back for Karen and Gary. He's coming back for you. Like, he's coming back for the whole church. But he is coming back for you, and I'm convinced, and Michelle probably will tell me if it's biblical or not, that when we get the mortified bodies, God is an intimate God, right? And he wants to, that's awesome, wants to connect, but I believe, you know, we get those mortified bodies, or mortified? Glorified, scratch that from the live. So he can hug us. You know, so we can put his arm around us. So we can put his head in the bosom. I mean, this is why he came, right, you guys? He wanted a family. He wanted a family. And sometimes I get, you know, the gospel is starting. Yes, we have to receive him as Lord. That's the entrance into it. But he wanted a family. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted brothers and sisters. And then he wants to live on the inside of us. When you think about the holiness of God, and then he's on the inside of us, how do we not totally explode? I mean, the holiness of God. Uzziah took one for the team and he died instantly. When you go over Old Testament, what they had to do, the brazen altar, the outer court, the inner court, the holy of holies, the priests, the high priest with the pomegranate and the bells, right? You know, like, and then he lives on the inside of me? Oh my goodness. And he has so little of us. So that was not even in my notes. So the title, if I would title this message, it would be Preparing the Road for all you note takers. So God is good, and I don't know about you, but as I was in prayer on that Thursday night, part of what I feel like my purpose is to intercede for the saints. That's what I'm, one of my purposes, and I feel, you know, to do that. And because the saints are being, my ears are small, they say. I think I'm okay. I don't know. We'll see how this works. Anyways, and because the saints get beat up every day, really, sometimes by the world. Oh my goodness, I see what they mean. Sometimes by their own mind, right? Their unrenewed mind. But it doesn't take brain surgeon to look at how looking at the news, how it can defile us. I mean, horrific things I don't even want to hear or see, right? And if you look at all those things, it can wear on you, or you get numb. You get really apathetic to hearing about these crazy murders or whatever. And it becomes commonplace, and there becomes a numbness. And I just felt like Lord was saying, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. So my text tonight is actually in the New Living Translation. We don't have that in the back, so it'll be a different version. But I liked, there's so many versions I love because it just brings, highlights different things. So in John 1:23, it says, John replied in the words of Isaiah, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. I mean, there's so much packed in this. I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. And I like how the Passion Translation says it too. So Passion Translation is not completely accurate. It's just more of a devotional type of translation. So it says, John answered them, I am an urgent, thunderous voice crying out in the desert. Clear the way, prepare your hearts for the coming of the Lord Yahweh. Other passage may say, make straight the way of the Lord. And as I was reading this and studying this, I've never really looked at it like this before, but wilderness. Sometimes I can feel like we're in a wilderness, like we are a strange alien living in this world, and it's a wilderness out there. You know, it just, we, to live holy, to endure, to, you know, it's so easy to become weary and weak if we look at all around. And I don't want to start out strong. I want to finish strong. Starting out is easy. You know, like maybe the first step is hard, like you do an exercise program, the first step is hard. But then if you continually, consistently do it, that's the hard stuff. That's the consistent grit, the consistent perseverance. In John 1:23, John was letting those Jewish leaders, because they said, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Are you the Messiah? And he allowed their questioning because it wasn't about his identity. It was about whom he was speaking of. So he was speaking that. The next text I have is Isaiah 57, 14 through 15. I mean, you can see this common language through New Testament, but it was also prophesied years, hundreds of years before. God says, rebuild the road. Yours will probably say something different because it's a New Living Translation. Clear away the rocks and stones so my people can return from captivity. Said, look at God's heart. So he's saying, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. So the 57 chapters before this, there was talking about, you know, the judgments, but this is the first time in the book of Isaiah where he's talking about, like, there's hope. And in my my Bible, it says promise for hope and healing. And I think that is just awesome that he not only is high and lifted up in the holy place, but he is with you when you are crushed in spirit, when you are broken and a contrite heart, and you don't know which way to go, and you feel like, I don't know which way to go or what to do. And so here, be amazed, people. No, I just had some dirt here. Oh, I should put some gloves on, but I'll probably put that on later. So I have some dirt, and here's some rocks. So there's always different types of rocks, right? There's big rocks. Sometimes I didn't have time to get, there's little pebbles. This is a weird-shaped rock. Amy, you like rocks? Yeah, right. I'm with you, sister. I'm in the same vein here. Some are flat. Some are smaller. So this just represents your path. Sometimes we don't have any rock. Sometimes it's like super clear, and you are all good. You know, it's a clear, it's a smooth road. So I just wanted to bring that illustration, and we'll go back to it in a little bit. But the things I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else, CPR. C, clear the way. P, prepare your heart. And R, he restores and revives. And during that worship song, you know, we know him so well, right? Worthy, worthy, worthy. But when you go back to, like, I always think of the Passion of the Christ when he's at that whipping post. And it's horrific. It's hard for me to watch. And he did that, you know. It just amazes me that he would do that for us, right? He has so little. And it amazes me to clear the way, prepare your heart. He restores and revives. He restores and revives. So the Bible tells us that John didn't just show up, right? His ministry was predicted by Isaiah 40, by Malachi, hundreds of years beforehand. God sent him to make ready the way of the Lord. And I'm just taking time to lay the foundation of why John had to come. He's God. He's Jesus. He could just come down and fully God, fully man. Why did he need John? And in Isaiah 40, verse 4, it speaks of filling in the valleys, leveling the mountains and hills. So, you know, those high places, if you're walking along here, this is like a high place, right? So in Bible times, a ruler or nobleman or Eastern king traveling through the wilderness, there'd be a crew of workmen, actually. And they would prepare the road ahead of the king to come through to make it flat. Pretty interesting. That's why I'm kind of wearing the workman stuff. I didn't get it. That's what I had. Yeah, I know. It's a stretch. Anyways, I didn't know that. And as I'm studying this, I'm like, oh, I had no idea. Interesting how that paraphrases with John, right? Oh, so cool. They would fill in the gullies. They would rake down the high places. And they would make the road suitable for the king. Let that sink in. So are you prepared for a visit from the king? I don't know. I just don't want a visit. I want a habitation. I want a dwelling place, like not flash in the pan revival. I want consistent day in, day out, right? John the Baptist was preparing the hearts of the people for Jesus when he would arrive. Jesus was, of course, born already, but he was just about to start his earthly ministry by being a voice. And as I read a voice, I'm reminded, you are a voice. Every one of us, a voice. How are you being like John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord for people? Evangelism, telling, you know, in your everyday life, in work, in church, in serving. And John obviously called people to repentance, right? And repentance isn't a bad word. I don't mind repentance. I like when God tells me, like, you are goofing up. I want to know the right thing to do. I don't want to mess up and, like, not anybody tell me. Like, there's refreshing that comes when I say, oh my gosh, I am prideful. I need to humble myself. Forgive me, God. That's beautiful. The days of refreshing so they may come, right? But I think this is so significant that God, like I said before, God didn't just send Jesus. He made preparation before he came. So, you know, we like having people over. So, you know, we had the men over in summer at like 50-some people. So do you think we had to prepare? Nah, we'll just order McDonald's or something. But we had a barbecue. That was so fun. So we ordered a bunch of meat. you know, cleaning the house, preparing, all that stuff. And in the same way, it's the same thing. We have to prepare for the King. And if I'm passionate in this, I'm speaking this to myself. There's a lot of different rocks in my life that I may not want to admit. Maybe there's a little pebble under here, way down under. We need God to know God, right? I can't repent if I don't have the Holy Spirit convicting me. I can't do anything in myself. We are so sheepy. We're so dumb. Or I'm so dumb, not you're dumb. But we need the Lord everything. I need to know, like when he says to me, like, you have been blinded and you don't even know it. That verse that says that. And then he shows you and they're like, oh, but you used me before. But that's interesting. It's only when the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Praise God. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, and he is coming again, and he is asking us to prepare for him. Sometimes it's really easy to get in our scope, vision, laser focus, right? Life, kids, church, everything that's going on, and got teens, you got lots of things going on and different seasons of life. And sometimes you forget about, you know, not intentionally, but you forget about, he's coming back. How do I live ready for the King every day? Rocky roads can sometimes, you know, if you're pretending you were walking on this, can make it feel unstable, a little unsteady, unsure. Or do they? Or maybe they do steady your feet. Maybe when you look at the rock, you're like, oh my goodness, God. I really got into that gossip. That was way too much. And I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have lied. And so that rock was revealed of lying, gossip, whatever it is. And it steadies that and it smooths out that road. So thank God for the rocks. Firm foundation. Maybe it's a big rock of like infidelity. Or maybe there's some things that impure thoughts. Or maybe you're not good enough. Or maybe there's doubt and fear. All little things. So tonight we're going to dive into three ways we can smooth out our paths for the Lord. How to live ready. We are definitely living in a time the Lord needs us strong. Strong. And that, I'm gonna caveat this with, if you're going through a circumstance that's overwhelming, I'm not saying just be strong and just have faith and keep on going, brother or sister. That's not what I'm meaning. The posture of your heart in knowing God has to be strong. The confidence that your heart is to God is knowing that no matter what you're going through, you know that your confidence is in the Lord, not in your own flesh. It's not trusting in chariots, but it's the one who fears the Lord. And why is that important? What's the big deal? Why do we need to be strong? I mean, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What's at stake? The testimony of the Lord is at stake. The testimony of the Lord in your life. Saying, God really changed you back 20 years ago. He set you free. Me, I got delivered of alcohol and drugs in a moment. One moment with the Lord. I haven't touched anything since. One moment. But then 10 years later, you know, it's fine. God loves me. I got greasy grace and can have a drink. What's at stake? The testimony of God. Everything we do in our Christian life, especially in these times, is for his name's sake. I want his name to be great on the earth. See, I followed him through valleys, lows, because he was strong and he was faithful. Even when I've been faithless and I worry, he still is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. So tonight, I want you to just be encouraged. Encouraged because it does get weak. We do get weary. If you're not, you're human. Your flesh can only do so much. That's why we got to tap into that Holy Spirit, right? And then I just wrote down, will the remnant on the earth testify of his greatness? Will we testify to the greatness of our God? Guys in the back, I didn't tell you this verse, so don't worry about it. I love this one. I've been reminded of it so much. In Psalm 145, the greatness and the goodness of our God, it really tells us, I will extol you, my God and King. I bless your name forever and ever. Every day, I will bless you. Praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And these next couple of verses, I'm always reminded of the youth. I'm going from one generation to the next. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One on the glorious splendor of your majesty and the wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing loud of your righteousness. I am convinced that the enemy of our children's soul is so strong on this generation because they're the ones that are going to change, you know, declare the works of the Lord before the Lord's return. And I will not align myself with Generation X. They're just nothing. 96% leave the church. While the statistic may be true, they need to have courage. They need to have hope and say, I don't believe that. I believe you're called to be a deliverer in your generation. You know, and I was reminded in prayer the other day that when was the last time we actually said, hey, millennial, come with me. Let's go pray for this person. Hey, Alpha. All the different generations, I don't even know. That's only really I know. But when was the last time we did that? There's some wisdom in this room because you've been around God and the gospel. And we have to transfer that, you know? I'm very hungry for that. I want to see them raised up. Praise God. So the three things we're going to do is identify rocks and gravel on our paths. What happens if we avoid it? What if we just kind of just put some dirt on top of it? See? Look, there, perfect. Can't even see that, can you? Look it, gone. Awesome. Let's go on with our life. We'll go back to work. I'll make some supper. We'll just go on with our life. It's fine. Oh, here. There. Posturing. Putting a mask over it. That's fun. That works, right? How's that working out? Not so good. Not so good because when a storm comes, it kind of blows all this off. Oh, man, I thought I dealt with that. Then anger comes up. And then unbelief and say, where were you, God? Why did you let this happen? I feel numb to you, God. Where are you? Are you here? Do you listen to me? Do you hear me when I pray? Do you hear anything I'm saying? And then the last thing we're going to talk about is how to rebuild. Because in Isaiah it says, build up, build up, build up, build up. Build up. Build up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Build up. Gain confidence in the rebuilding. It's not a bad thing. It's okay to rebuild. It's okay to renew. Praise God that you were shown that, right? So identifying the rocks and gravel. And you know, I kind of struggled with this. Like, well, everything in the Bible, everything that's a sin really is a rock. Right? I'm like, well, which one should we go with tonight, Lord? There's so many. Do we gossip? Do we have impure thoughts? Do we rob God of tithing? Do we not assemble together in church? Are we not loving? Are we not being obedient? Are we being disobedient? I mean, then you go into families. Are we being edifying? And oh my goodness, pursue him, and he will show you. I don't shine a light in my heart and say, okay, God, what are we going to do? Like, show me this. You know, he'll reveal it to you. You don't can't have to camp out there because then you're just like, want to poke your eyes out. You know, and like, oh my goodness, like all this stuff, like I'm so rotten. But pursue him. So we talked about making those level places, you know, the high places level, right? So what is that? What does scripture mean? How do we level places in our life so it's smooth for the Lord? What does it mean when scripture says that? Well, the high place is always an elevated place. It's anything you elevate, like it was always a place for sacrifice and offerings. Anything that's elevated above God, anything that's above God and praised and worshiped or fixated on or looked at to help other than God, that will be a high place. In Deuteronomy 12:3, this talks about there were high places in the Old Testament, idol worship. Break down the altars. I love the language in this. Break down the altars. Burn down the Asherah poles in the fire and cut down the idols. That is how aggressive, intentive we have to be with idols in our life. If you allow, you know, one sin and a little compromise here, it allows more, you know, opening the gate for more of that. We want to have a pure heart and clean hands. Why? So we can hear the Lord. Who is he saying to talk to? Who is he saying to obey? How are you going to walk in the Spirit? And walking isn't in spirit isn't for the super spiritual. You don't put off the flesh and all of a sudden then you walk in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit right from your born-again experience. It absolutely can. There are some things we just, in this season, I feel that we can't do anymore. And I'm speaking to myself. There are some things we are doing, I'm doing, that I cannot continue to do. That other seasons, we've been okay. 1 John 5:21 says, keep away from anything that would take God's place in your life. What's taking God's place in your life? Maybe it's really good things. You know, does social media take your place? TV. You know, there's nothing wrong with relaxing and getting refreshed. But is it taking too much? Is there imbalance? You have to be balanced, right? Prayerlessness. That's a big one. I don't do that one perfect, believe it or not. But if it's more than a couple days, you need to stop what you're doing. Because then it starts getting into a habit. And it you just need to get back in that vein of, you know, when you get in the vein of, you know, not procrastinating, being disciplined in certain areas, you just kind of keep going in that, right? Isolating from God's people, daily reading of the Bible, worship, and obedience. These are how you change the rocks. Obviously, it starts with repentance and when God shows you a rock. So refreshing can come. Some attitudes we have, I gotta go. Got to get to getting. Criticalness. If your love is more calculating to brothers and sisters, you should probably stop what you're doing. And go back to your first love, the love of God, and how he wasn't critical. We can't continue living with walks. We must prepare. And sometimes U-turns are completely necessary. There's a road or a way, a rocky road that you're going down that that's probably not the right way to go. It takes God to show you the rocks, though. I love Psalm 139, verse 23. For this reason, I don't know, I just was stuck on the past, some of the passion stuff. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through my anxious cares. Ooh, that's a pretty bold one. That's good, because I want Father to be glorified in everything I do. And sometimes it's not big stuff. Sometimes it is just the little pebbles, right? Clear the way of the Lord. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight the highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys, level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves, smooth out the rough places. Then the glory will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. Praise God. We are living in the wilderness. Verse 2, what happens if we avoid or deny, have selective hearing with the Lord? We shove under the rug like I did with that rock. Well, I can say avoiding conflict equals you attract chaos. You cannot avoid conflict. You need to talk about it. You need to have hard conversations. And it's not easy. It's so not easy. It's awkward. It is so awkward. But you need to be honest about it. And the man after God's own heart, King David, he didn't deal with a lot of stuff. The account of Amnon and Tamar is part of the falling apart of David's family after the sin of Bathsheba. Now, Amnon is David's son, and Amnon and Tamar are half-brother and sister. They share a father, David. So Amnon was one of David's sons, and Tamar was Amnon's half-brother. And Amnon raped Tamar. King David was furious with his actions of Amnon, but he did nothing. King David, man after God's heart, did nothing. Family, King David. It's a good old, it's like a soap opera when you read through, if you're on your own time, 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 2, and 2 Samuel 19, 10. Goes through this whole thing. He took no real action. Absalom, David's other son, cared for Tamar in his own home and would not speak to Amnon, his brother. 2 years, Absalom commanded his servants to murder Amnon in revenge. Absalom fled the country, and then later, David let him return to Jerusalem for 2 years, but he would not, David, the father, would not allow the son Absalom in his presence. And then toward the end, in 2 Samuel, it talks about, why didn't you just leave me where I was? I can't even be in your presence. I can't even go in and talk to you. So check it out. It's an amazing story. And then Absalom and goes into David's presence. He bows before him and he forgives him. Are you avoiding hard conversations that need to take place? And sometimes when I say that, if you're having that, you know exactly right where you know which one it is. It's highlighted. You can feel that in your gut. Are you withholding the gift of second chances? Think if David did talk to Amnon. Think if he did talk to Absalom. Because Absalom killed Amnon. Things could have been different, right? God is just and he judges fairly to his scales of rightness. Because he sees all and he looks at the heart. He knows why we bury feelings and later explode. When we do something, we should, like the old survivor, cast off the island. We should be totally cast off the island. But God in his mercy, he gives us grace that we didn't earn and we didn't deserve. And once you start knowing, you know, more about what you didn't earn and deserve, it's so easy to give away grace and love and forgiveness. You didn't deserve any of it. When we messed up, we were gladly to receive, right, his grace and mercy. Well, this is the same mercy and grace that we are to extend to others. Or is your missteps much easier to wipe out than other people's? Is that too harsh? Now, I'm not talking about like toxic relationships or God is teaching you to love people from a distance. But having a hard conversation and making an honest attempt to make things right with a brother or sister is the right thing to do. Blessed are the peacemakers. When we refuse to forgive someone, we are actually making them pay for it. Dr. Henry Cloud talks about in Boundaries, in the Boundaries book, that we still want something from somebody. King David did. He did this. He allowed Absalom to come home, but couldn't come in his presence. Absalom finally said, "You know, I could have stayed where I was if I was going to be treated this way." In short, when sin, the rocks and gravel we allow in, show up, deal with it. It's so easy to deal with it. I mean, not easy, but simple. You know, it's hard to look at our own junk, right? But be encouraged. He's showing you so you can be set free and repent and make that U-turn. Turn away from it. So you can hear God. Because it's hard to hear God when you've got all this stuff and all these rocks. Right? Don't look the other way. If you keep sin in control, you're living in chains. Give it all to God. This is the leveling ground. Removing the high place you may have misplaced someone to a place of worship where only God can fill. So lastly, let's move along here. Tools to rebuild, gaining confidence in the battle. So as we said, we need to be strong, right? Strong in the sense that we know God is with us. But we still need to address our hearts in the middle of it, right? So Ephesians 6, when I was reading this the other day, I was like, yes, I feel like we all need to hear this, because sometimes the battle, we can get really weary from the battle. It can get really tiring living in the world that we are, but putting on the whole armor of God. God gives us weapons. So here are your gloves, armor of God. Put on your gloves. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Does God just put it on for us? No, it says put on the whole armor. Just part, I'll just stand in the truth. I don't have to have faith or anything or peace or a helmet of salvation. No, put it all on. Why? Isn't the word great? Why? He says it right there. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. For our struggle is not against the enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When you see therefore, what is it there for? Take up the whole armor of God. Take it up. so you feel strong and you don't grow weary. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Build up, build up. You can do this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. God is writing that. If you don't do this, you're probably not going to be able to stand. I mean, that's what it's kind of inferring. If you take up the whole armor of God, then you'll be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Stand, therefore, fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This is so encouraging because it says in 13, you will be able to withstand on that evil day. There's hope. You will be able to withstand if you put on the armor. You will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise God. These are your weapons. Press in and take your weapons, right? Sometimes we forget about these amazing, I know I do, these amazing scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10:4. It's one of my favorites. 10:4. Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war against human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they are divine power to destroy strongholds. Patterns of thinking that have built up in your mind. We destroy arguments and every proud thing, an obstacle that's raised up against the knowledge of God. We take thought every captive, or we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Take captive those thoughts. Take captive those thoughts. Destroy every argument of all the word of God that's within you. I'm just going to finish up here. Press in and take your weapons. Don't listen to the lie that Satan is limited in hindering the saints of God. It's revealed in Christ's statement in Luke 16:6. The law and the prophets were until John. Under the law and the prophets, the people had to wait for a prophet, priest, or king to lead them into battle. Since that time in the ministry of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And then it says down in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Like, what on earth does that mean? I mean, you ever read some scripture, you're like, I have no idea. I'm going to need to get some resources. I'm going to need to call Michelle. Like, what is exactly does this mean? But in the Greek, the word for violence is to press with force. And in the noun, it means energetic. Amen. I love energetic. I don't know about you, but when I read the word of God, I get energized. I'm like, that's right. I feel super weak. Even David said, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I'm like, that's right, David. I like how he goes into his fleshly things, but he goes, but God, I will put my trust in you. He is my refuge. He is my shelter. Right? Receive energy from the word of God and fellowshipping with the Spirit. This word force has nothing to do with fighting demons or the devil. It means to seize, to pull, and to take for oneself. So be attentive to your thought life. Intentional thought life. When thoughts are going off on a path and building a path of rocks and going off, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, like, this is not right thinking. It's trying to come against those things and capture it. Think if we would do this. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Lord, I'm not, things that come into our minds, You know, in this time, it can sometimes my thoughts get like crazy, like violent thoughts, angry thoughts, lustful thoughts. I'm like, oh my goodness, I know this is not from God. I take authority over those thoughts. I have the mind of Christ, you know, and so I just pray that you're encouraged. We are finished here. As always, you can come up for prayer. I'm just going to pray a blessing over you guys, and you are dismissed, but let's pray. God, we just thank you. We thank you that you have given us weapons and tools. You've given us so much. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray tonight that your word would come alive in every person's heart. I pray that we would take your word in. We would eat of it. And we would let the word read us. Let the word read us, God. So Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that we are going to make it. We are strong in you, God. And Lord, I just thank you for your strength. I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you always cause us to triumph. You always cause us to triumph. So Lord, I just give you praise. And I just pray a special just encouragement to your people, God, tonight, God. Speak whatever needs to be spoken to the hearts of this people, God. And I just ask that your blessing upon these people.
Is a name another same.